So I wrote in this morning's weekly email about the challenges that I felt in celebrating Hanukkah this year. The difference between darkness and light, the juxtaposition of the two, actually felt pretty powerful this year. So I want to share just a little bit of my sense of the darkness and my sense of the light, and some of it in poems and stories. There is, well, darkness in our world today. There's darkness in the ongoing worry and concern about the captives still missing from Israel. Today's news that there were three hostages accidentally killed by Israeli troops as they fled their captors makes this feeling even darker. The families who are still waiting after so many weeks are visual reminders of the pain that is felt. There's darkness in the trauma and loss that Israeli society has endured. Everyone there knows someone who was killed or injured or taken captive. The nation as a whole is still in mourning. One Israeli leader of the protest movements of months ago against the government's reforms explained that all of Israel is actually still in shock. It's too early to talk about working with Palestinians in the future. The focus is on defeating Hamas and to some extent wanting Netanyahu out of office, she said. But it seems pretty clear that Israelis cannot think much beyond the right now, even as we try to understand what they are living through. There is darkness in the heavy toll that all of this fighting is taking on Palestinian society. We know that in Gaza, the destruction is overwhelming. While Israel might try to limit civilian casualties, and I do believe on the whole that they do want to do so, we know that war in an urban setting against an enemy that hides among civilians is brutal and devastating. There are too many needless deaths. I don't believe in a finite amount of compassion. I believe we can care deeply about our Israeli brothers and sisters and about Palestinians who are caught in the midst of this terrible war. We can care about them both. There is darkness in the rising tide of anti-Semitism that threatens our sense of security here in America and around the world. Now, Israel is not the cause of anti-Semitism, but in many instances, it has been the excuse for it. Dark hatred of Jews as Jews is not new, but the levels that we have seen in the past 10 weeks have been new. And we know that hatred of one group of people makes it far easier for those who hate any group to feel emboldened in their hatred. The darkness of Islamophobia is real as well, and we feel the heaviness and the darkness of hate. And all of that is aside from, or in addition to, the darkness of the ongoing war in Ukraine, continued fighting in Sudan, the repression of people in Myanmar and in China, the rise of authoritarian politicians around the world and their threat to democracy, the ever-increasing climate crisis, and so much more. You know, in the Talmud, Hillel and Shammai have a debate over how to light the Hanukkah menorah. And Shammai actually suggests that we start with eight candles burning on the first night, and each night we take one away to reflect the diminishing days of the holiday. That's not how we do it, because when Hillel and Shammai debate, almost always Hillel is going to win. But Shammai said we count down the number of days. It's Hillel who said, no, we should increase the light each day, increase the holiness each day, adding more and more holiness as we add each candle one by one on the days of Hanukkah. As we know, Hillel wins this discussion, but my friend Rabbi Jen Gubitz recently wrote a poem called "What If Shammai Was Right?" She writes, "What if Shammai was right? What if each night we go to light and there is more darkness in our hearts than the night before? What if we are not like Hillel and cannot see the light increase, cannot strike the match, or have run out of wax and wicks? What if the wickedness of the world or the pain in our soul casts dark shadows on the glimmering light? What if the miracle is the single flickering flame on the last night while the world tries to snuff you out?" I do understand Rabbi Gubitz's worry. What if all of this darkness is just too much? And sometimes, like I suspect many of you, I feel the heaviness of that. But in these moments, I try to bring to mind the light that we have just spent 8 days celebrating. Last Friday night here in our sanctuary, we had a row of tables lined up across the front and had 30 different menorahs glowing, filled with candles from our temple members. 30 menorahs filled with candles just here at TBS. Can you imagine how many other Hanukkah candles have been lit in these last 8 days around the world? Each one of those candles pushed back the boundary of the dark, at least a little bit. Each one of those candles brought a little bit of brightness into our world. So I want to share just a couple stories of light and brightness, and maybe a poem too. There's an author named Sarah Tuttle Singer. Anyone ever hear of Sarah Tuttle Singer? You should. She is an expat American writer. She now lives in Jerusalem. She actually recently published a book of her writings called Jerusalem Drawn and Quartered, because she lives in the southeast corner of the city of Jerusalem. She's a managing editor and blogs frequently at the website Times of Israel, which you also should be reading, as well as other sites, and she writes a lot about life in Israel. I have found her recent posts on Facebook to be very helpful in understanding Israel right now, as well as really wonderfully written. So she shares this story last week. She writes, "One night in a taxi on my way home, my Israeli Jewish driver rolled down his window and shouted to the Israeli Arab taxi driver next to him, 'Hey, Ahmed, you're coming over tonight for donuts, right?' Sufganiyot, I presume, for Hanukkah. And he said, 'Of course, Chag Sameach, Habibi, my friend.' Sarah writes, she darn near choked on her gum. 'What?' she said. And her cab driver turned to her and said, 'We are old friends, and we both have a problem with our cholesterol, but our wives allow us a little bit of corruption once on Hanukkah and once on the Muslim feast during Iftar.' 'Well, that makes sense,' Sarah said. 'Of course it does,' said the cab driver. 'This is Jerusalem.'" Sarah tells another story from earlier in December, another point of light. She writes about a friend who was on his way home one night from running errands when he saw a hit-and-run accident on the border between Shu'afat and Beit Hanina, two Palestinian villages south of Jerusalem. An Arab guy was crossing the street when another Arab guy on a motorcycle clipped him. The guy on the street flew 30 meters in the air and landed like a rag doll on the cold, hard sidewalk, she writes. The guy on the motorcycle gunned the engine and sped away. Sarah writes that her friend pulled over and leaped out of the car. The injured guy was breathing, she said, but his airways rattled like an old furnace and several of his bones were bent at an absurd angle. He called emergency services while dozens of men came running, young Arab guys in dark jeans and tight t-shirts with their hair styled like the latest soccer players, old men with their cigarettes still in their fingers, teenage girls, some in hijab, some not, clacking on their high heels, their hair in designer bags flying. And then, he writes, these religious Jewish guys were suddenly there. All these Haredim in their vests from United Hatzalah of Israel. These are Israeli first responders, emergency workers, ultra-Orthodox men who rush to the scene of any emergency to offer first aid. There they were in the middle of this Palestinian area, just with alongside the Arab volunteers, and they were all running towards this Arab guy in the street. He writes, it really touched me. Sarah writes, it shouldn't be so surprising. After all, in Jerusalem, we have the expression, one who saves a life, it's as if they save an entire world. I know, said her friend, but you know, things aren't great between us these days. And still, they showed up in the middle of this Arab area, taking care of this Arab guy, and no one made a big deal out of it, because you're right, it shouldn't be surprising. And in Jerusalem, it isn't. Sarah writes, we don't know what happened to the guy on the street, or to the guy who hit him. In a perfect world, the injured guy made a refuah shlema, a full recovery. In a perfect world, the guy who hit him got arrested and faced consequences for his recklessness. In a perfect world, everyone in Jerusalem lived happily ever after in peace and love and ate hummus together. But in a perfect world, none of this would have happened to begin with. She writes, We live in the real world where terror exists and racism exists and suspicion and violence and fear exist. We live in the real world where young guys get seriously injured in a hit and run while crossing the street. And we live in the real world where, if only for a moment, people from different sides of a bloody, exhausting, and intractable conflict can come together in the middle of a busy street to try and save a broken man. One who saves a life, it's as if he saved an entire world. In this imperfect real world, she writes, there's life. Where there's life, there's hope. She wrote one other story earlier this week, just a little note. She said, just thought you all should know, here in Jerusalem, at the old Jerusalem YMCA, called Yimka, YMCA in Hebrew, here in Jerusalem, a 10-minute walk from the Al-Aqsa Mosque, a 10-minute walk from the Church of the Holy Sepulchre, a 10-minute walk from the Western Wall, in the middle of this long slog of a war, dozens of Muslim, Christian, and Jewish toddlers with an equally diverse staff celebrated Hanukkah together at the Jerusalem YMCA. They lit candles and spun dreidels and sang songs and ate latkes. And in a few days, they'll sing Christmas songs and decorate paper Christmas trees too. And when Ramadan begins, they'll make colorful, bright lanterns together. Children, she writes, are born with only love, just love. We all come into the world with pure, sweet, squishy hearts that are ready to grow and accept. Love them and teach love diligently. That is the Jerusalem of the earth and the heaven, the real and the ideal that we can create together. One final word, I promised you a poem. This from my friend and colleague, rabbi and poet, Rabbi Evan Schultz of Bridgeport, Connecticut. On Thursday night, he posted a meditation for the eighth night of Hanukkah. He wrote, believe. Believe in the light of these eight tiny candles. Believe that miracles can happen. Believe that love can and will overcome hate. Believe that the world is not beyond repair. Believe that from conflict will come creation. Believe that peace will one day come. Believe one small good deed leads to another. Believe in ourselves to always be the light. Through these tiny eight lights, may we always believe. From darkness to light, may it be so. As together we say, Amen and Shabbat Shalom.